All right. So I said positively four string, and you did not know what that was.
I don't know what that was.
That is like just the best song. He writes like the most acerbic, badass breakup songs too. You wouldn't expect that. Everyone thinks he's just kind of like, you know, a little protest folk boy, and yeah. And he was a little disingenuous about it. Yeah. I mean, I think he was pretty opportunistic. But okay. Positively Forestry, dude. Like, that song has got me through every breakup ever. Just sneering asshole. Ah, it's so good. So, I think we're going to just have to think about how we're going to change your mind about Bob Dylan. And
are you going to listen to that after you quit the podcast?
Yeah, after we break up, it's going to be on loop forever.
It's your breakup song for the podcast.
Yeah.
No, that's sad.
I mean, I don't think it's that. I think it's beautiful. I think it's a wonderful thing, and that he's able to share his pain with us, and we're able to experience
it.
Yeah. And able you to share don't
his,
like that.
Able to share his painful voice.
Sorry, it's not a Motley Crue. Your favorite gang of guys, huh?
Don't really like Motley Crue either.
Yeah. Don't want them to know.
That's such a kind of a weird band to pull out of thin air. Could say Guns N' Roses. I don't like them either, but...
Yeah. They covered a Bob Dylan song.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah. Did you know that?
Yeah, I do. Knocking on Heaven's Door.
Yeah. another song you think is stupid. Huh?
I don't like that song.
I just don't understand it, Mike. You seem like a guy who enjoys the finer things.
Likes good music. Yes, I am, and I do.
You love Steely Dan?
I do like Steely Dan.
I think we agree on Steely Dan.
Yep. I still listen to the Yachty by Nature mix.
Ooh.
It's a great mix.
Folks, if you don't know the Yachty by Nature mix, get on that, because that is some good very good. That is just like...
It is very, very good.
It's like a girl talk introduction to yacht rock, and it'll just rock your world. Your entire world.
Of course, the man took it down.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, so you're going to have to pirate that stuff?
I did.
Well, folks, if you can find it out there on some pirate website, Yachty by Nature... That is just a yacht rock masterpiece, and it's a shame the authorities
are trying to
lock it down. Mm, you hate to see it.
Here's a little bit of Yachty by Nature.
Ooh.
Oh, a little cool ocean vibes there.
Taking me somewhere I want to be.
I will say it. This is like perfect to listen to on a hot summer day.
It is, man.
Which, by the way, Chris, we're going to have some hot days coming up. But, And coming up, we got a scorcher.
Pretty soon, Mike and I are just going to...
We're just going to be total hack radio.
That's not what I was going to say.
Gonna what?
Yeah.
I don't continue.
What's this little jammy acoustic lick?
This is Yachty by Nature,
ooh.
Chris.
Ooh, what's that beat?
Ooh. We're going to have a heat wave here, Chris.
Ooh.
The temperature's going to go up.
What?
And Chris is gonna go.
You just hold on a minute.
That's sad.
When my dick goes down, it's more like. It's like first of all,
jack breaks.
Yeah.
On a truck.
Yeah, it's like a city bus coming to a strong stop. Yeah.
That's horrible. You know, not even this fuck music in the background here get you going. That's crazy.
Oh, dude!
No, you don't get going.
I'm
I don't want to go.
Extremely going.
Don't go here.
I am going as hard as I can.
No, fuck. Yeah, that's hard. Good stuff, though.
It is. Aren't you just chilled the fuck out, man? Rockism just needs to die.
Oh yeah, they got like everything on this mix. They've got like Toto's on here.
Of course. It's your favorite band.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I celebrate their entire catalog. Oh, a little Loggins and Messina.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Kinda folks you might forget about.
Kenny Loggins?
You know, I guess it was good because my 80s music interests are usually like way on the other. I don't know. This is not the universe I'm used to.
When you, I think you were playing this during a break one time. Like, I think I was gonna go pee pee, and and like I was in the bathroom and I heard this in the bathroom, and I'm like, is that fucking yacht rock? And I came out, and you're like just like just grinning like a freaking like a freaking thief out here, and you're like, yeah, yeah, it's cool, huh?
You know, it's yeah, right, man.
And I'm like, I don't hate this actually.
You know what? Maybe Aunt Colleen and I can get on the boat and whip out some Yanni by nature.
You can a little Boz Skaggs here. Yeah. There's a
we could talk out our differences.
Oh, a little Steely Dan there, right?
Steely Dan. Haitian divorce. That ties into another person we're talking about tonight.
You don't say. You don't say. Like, who would that be?
Oh, you can't think of anyone divorced, Mike? That
no, I can't think of anybody that's divorced, that's washed up, or, you know, like, just a loser replying with boomer jokes, shitting up an entire Facebook thread.
Do you masturbate?
Ah, well, you know, the only girl you got is your hand.
Should be okay. If it gets too hot, you can let me know.
Okay.
Because I'm very sensitive to heat, too. I don't like it.
Yeah. I'm a little sensitive to heat, especially with, you know, 101 fever today.
Yeah, so Mike, tell us about this fever you have.
I was getting ready to come over.
It was a disco fever.
I was getting ready to come over here.
And what's that like? You cranking one out and...
No, actually I'm not. I'm just getting home from work and...
Cranking one out on the way home?
No, on the way home, yeah. You gotta get a couple in on the way home or else. Yeah. You know, you walk in the door and then you know you just get that jibba jabba.
Are you masturbating? Yeah. My fucking life.
Yeah. I think it was like 5:30 or something like that, and I'm getting ready to come over here and, you know, go out and get your beers because, oh, you know, baby needs his beers or baby's going to make a boom boom. So then I just like got like a full body chill. I was fucking freezing my ass off. I could not get warm.
And you just came on down to my residence and decided to.
I considered telling you, look, I can't do it today. But then you'd be like, oh, well, you know, I'm a.
I need that
beer. We haven't put out a pod for 3 months, but I need to do another pod now before we release our last one. So, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, sounds like something I'd say.
Yes, absolutely. So, I feel better.
You do.
I had to get some electrolytes in me, but I felt better. I almost fucking ate shit at the gas station. I got out of my car, and my feet just weren't working right. Like, I was so weak.
What happened?
I know this is hilarious, but, well, I tripped.
That's pretty funny.
I didn't fall, but I did like this really dramatic spin move to save myself. I looked like an asshole.
Lots of mishaps at the gas station. With
I know, it's crazy. That's the only place that I go to fuck things up. So yeah, I did take my temperature in my mouth, not
sure,
not in my ass, Chris. You know,
Who could tell the difference?
I know, that's a phrase that you're very familiar with. I took my temperature with the thermometer.
Yeah.
It was like a little under 101. It was like 100.7. WZLX. That's Boston's classic rock.
Do you need more electrolytes?
I don't want any electrolytes that you might happen to be offering.
Skeptical of my electrolyte.
I am very skeptical of the source.
I have some magnesium here, which I believe is an electrolyte.
I believe it is, but I think I'll just get some Powerade on the way home. Thank you. All right, well, this awful podcast. This is episode number 28.
Hey.
We haven't done our intro yet. I'm going to have to, like, cut and paste that in somewhere.
Oh, no, I was supporting you. Oh,
okay. Yeah, this is going to have to get...
Right here.
Yeah, we wonder why it takes so long to edit these goddamn things. Just because we're just shooting ourselves in the dick.
Because we're stupid.
The entire time.
Hey, I went to the gas station today.
You asked about my life, Chris. Mm-hmm. Don't you want to know about my life?
I do, but...
I'm sorry, it's not all pee-pee, poo-poo.
Oh, it's just fevers and tripping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well...
And not the cool tripping. Either.
Yeah, I know, not the same tripping as you.
Exactly. All right, so...
Anyway.
This is a podcast, I
this
guess.
This is a podcast.
That we're doing.
This is a podcast done by myself, Michael.
And me.
Okay, let's see what names you're gonna. I can see the gears turning.
Okay.
The wheel of names is turning. It's going past Jeff Jacoby.
And Martin. Nope.
Oh.
Nope.
So where are you going with that one?
Nope.
Martin Luther?
No, it's gonna be Martin Lawrence, but it was the same problem either way. Okay.
Martin Luther, the Protestant? The Lutheran?
There we go. The first Martin Luther, the Protestant.
Okay.
I am nailing something to a wall right now that's going to really upset the Tradcast.
What?
I can't be the first person to make this joke, but he was the first poster.
No, it's the Simpsons made that joke, actually. Remember when Lisa had the little civilization in her little Petri dish for the science project?
Yes.
And she looked in on it, and somebody was nailing a sign to a door. Look, I made Lutherans.
Wow, no, I don't remember that. I don't think I would have gotten that joke as a kid.
Well, I mean, you've watched The Simpsons since you were a kid.
Perhaps not that episode. This is a later episode, Mike.
No, it's not later. You want to fucking bet, dude?
Yeah, I want to fucking bet.
If anybody knows out there, give us a call. 1-833-SOYBOYS. You know, I haven't checked our email lately. Somebody might have emailed us, but...
Yeah, call the email.
I doubt it. Okay. All right, Chris, why don't you get into that? We've made like five Aunt Colleen references so far. Why don't we talk about your crazy ass fucking family?
Well, I mean, originally we had this whole thing set up where we were going to be like, how's your week? How's your week? And then you get here. All I did was post some rumors I saw on Twitter that ICE was stopping people on the Orange Line in Boston, which is our subway line.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yep.
Put that up. People were sharing it and sharing constructive things. And my aunt...
Expressing outrage.
Yes, and being upset about things that any normal person would probably feel upset about. Yep. And then,
so
bear in mind, I have like 10 aunts.
Your Aunt Colleen.
My Aunt Colleen pops in.
Just
leaves a message.
Just dropping by.
Drops by. We're not friends on Facebook because she cannot stand to see my posts, I guess. And then she just writes, Trump 2020.
Oh.
And boy, oh boy.
What do you think she meant by that?
I think like maybe if Trump had a clear vision of the world around him, 2020 vision, he might be able to understand why what he's doing is a problem.
Yeah, that's the whole problem, really. Yeah, yeah. He really needs to go to Warby Parker or something.
Yeah, seriously.
You know, it's all plant-based glasses.
And, use coupon code this awful pod for 20% off.
Coupon doesn't really exist.
Yeah, so I don't know. I was kind of like...
Just does the drive-by Trump 2020.
Does the drive-by Trump 2020, and I'm like, hey, it's Aunt Colleen who's too afraid to be friends with me on Facebook, but brave enough to... Do a drive-by troll on my post about protecting people from the racist Gestapo.
Brave. Extremely brave.
It does appear that my aunt has blocked me. And after some conversation, my cousin, who serves in the Navy, wrote me.
Okay.
And
words of support?
Well, I think she was upset.
Oh.
You know, and she
what
wanted,
about?
She just wanted me to know how she felt. She writes... I'm actually embarrassed we are related. You're deranged.
Deranged?
Your parents must be so proud. And then she blocked me.
The bravest move.
The bravest move possible.
Hey, have fun blocking Iran on your aircraft carrier.
I'm going to look so fucking stupid when we evade Iran and everything is going to just fucking kick ass, dude. I'm just going to look psychotic.
Yeah.
So
she's gonna have a nice selfie of herself on the Strait of Hormuz.
So that side of the family, I think, is permanently possibly cut off due to me being extremely awesome online at all times.
They just don't get
not
it.
Not being able to handle it.
They just don't get you.
I think they don't get a lot of stuff. Is a big part of the problem.
Yeah. Like anti-fascism, or you know, like not locking up children, you know, in cages, or.
Maybe having,
not electing a worm brain as president. Yeah.
Maybe understanding why saying Trump 2020 was a bit of an explosive move and not acting like a surprised moron when people get upset about it on a thread like that.
Didn't she ask you, I don't understand what's with the hostility?
Yeah, she did ask me.
I always post things like that everywhere. Like, I go on like the Vatican's Facebook page, and I'm like, hey, all priests are pedophiles. And then when, you know, 100,000... When 100,000 Catholics just get all over my shit, you know, I say, hey, what's with the hostility?
It's so weird, man.
Yeah, it's crazy. What a world.
I'm posting with something I care about and affects people I know and is scary as shit, and you just... you're a little prick about it. And all of a sudden, a bunch of people are mean to you online. Yeah. It's fucking weird that that happened.
Just a community dunking.
It was a community dunking. It was, honestly, thank you anyone who was on that thread, because...
Because it kicked ass.
Wow.
I mean, the reason why we're starting this pod at, like, midnight is because we've been just fucking dunking left and right on that thread and laughing our asses off.
Just having the time of our lives. And then, you know, Colleen backed out, and Jackie, thank you for the kind words. I'll try to be a better person moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you can stop recruiting people for the Navy.
Ooh.
Anyway, after they move on, we think we're done. We're like, all right, we're time on to Meghan McCain, right? It's time to just do fun stuff.
Yeah, time to go on to stuff that is actually, you know,
in the news. And then who pops up but Jeffy Lawrence.
Jeffy
friend
boy.
Of the show.
Jeffy boy.
Little Jeffy boy comes by, and he's just down to clown all the time. He's just 100% ready to fuck, like, always. Jeff, the thing is, we invited you on the pod. This was more to talk about Jeff than Colleen and Jackie.
And, yeah, you know, Colleen and Jackie are just, they're just babies on this.
Go have your fucking hissy fit. I don't give a shit. Mm. Jeff, though. Jeff used to be the publisher of the Weekly Dig. Maybe we should back this up a little bit.
Yeah, back this up. Gonna give some people some history.
Local All Weekly, that, you know. Very influential for me growing up. I thought it was a very cool paper. Jeff at one point takes it over as the publisher. Kind of known as a gigantic jackass in the industry.
Uh-huh.
We're friends on Facebook. After I got let go from Metro, I was looking for comms jobs. And I found this job for some magazine. Can't even remember the name. They give it out for free in hotel lobbies.
Oh, okay.
Kind of like a tour. Like, here's Boston, here's Cincinnati, whatever.
A brochure, essentially.
Yeah, a very overproduced travel brochure, I would say.
Like, you look at it and you're like, wow, who made this?
Yeah, probably an asshole. Probably someone who couldn't get a real job. So, you know, I applied for it and I knew who Jeff was. And due diligence, I reached out to Jeff. I was like, I'm applying here. And just, you know, what do you think? Like, is there anything I should know? Blah, blah, blah. He was totally normal and nice. Applied for the job. They sent me some editing. test, and honestly, I think I just took too long to do the editing test, and I really didn't kind of want the job, is honestly, frankly, how I remember it happening. And I remember finding the editing test to be really onerous. I was advised by a few people to not take the job because it seemed like a lot of work and responsibility for no pay.
Yeah.
And it did seem to be testing my willingness to, like, just pour my soul into it. It seemed like I would be single-handedly producing, like, a 36-page magazine.
Damn.
Which is a lot, if you
know that. That's a lot.
And I don't just mean writing it. I mean laying it out. I mean making it. Conceiving it from start to finish. Anyway, not to go on and on, but whatever. I half-assed the fucking test. I send it in. I don't get it. I wasn't surprised. It's nothing I've thought about in years.
It's not the job that got away.
I mean, I don't want to brag, but like at that point in my life, I was just like, I can't do journalism anymore. I've been doing it for so long. I was just like, I just want something that's not journalism to get away from this anything. And the last thing on my mind was trying to find a job I was proud of. I just wanted something else.
I want something where I'm making a difference for local people through brochures and travel.
Helping out everyone at the Four Seasons find the fucking douchiest restaurants I can possibly find in Downtown Crossing.
This is $4 signs.
This is the publisher of the All Weekly, by the way. He's doing this job. Very cool and hip guy now.
Totally.
So I guess Jeff has harbored some kind of insanely bizarre grudge toward me that the folks close to him I've asked about don't really seem to be able to... I mean, I don't mean to seem crazy. A lot of people are rude to me online.
No.
You know, and it's just par for the course, but he seems to have a very personal vendetta. I think he gets kind of drunk.
Oh.
No. And I think he I do. I mean...
Oh, no.
I mean, come on.
Oh, boy.
Come on. I mean, you know, I'm not a prude. You want to post drunk? That's fine, Jeff.
Ah, jeez.
You come online.
Oh, boy.
You come on my threads. You start saying stuff like, oh, Mr. Fat Man, who I turned down for the brochure job, like it was the New York Times or something, and not a job you also got fired from, I think, because it was such a bad job, right, Jeff? Because you couldn't do it.
Oh, boy.
He just keeps hopping on my Facebook wall, Mike, and saying, like, oh, too bad you couldn't make it, dude. You know?
You're like, make it where?
At your travel brochure job, bro? Yeah, that sounds like the shittiest job. I mean, I guess what I'm trying to say is he keeps taunting me with this.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, I don't, why would I give a shit? Why would I have wanted that job, dude?
He was like, you guys are like the Goonies.
The Goonies. Oh, wow. That's
timely,
very timely reference.
Yeah, for anyone under 50 listening to the podcast, that was actually an old movie in the 80s.
Yes.
I barely even understood what he meant. What, like, they were dorky little kids?
I guess.
Oh, wow.
I guess.
Fucking wrecked, dude.
Yeah.
Anyway, the thing with Jeff is that he talks a lot online, and he likes thinking that he's very mean and very clever online, and everyone dunks on him. And he likes to pretend he's a big-time journalist because, for some reason, he blew a lot of money paying actually talented people to write things for The Dig. Well, financially sinking it. But he doesn't seem to really want to come on the pod, Mike.
No. He declined all offers to come on the pod, which is a real disappointment.
It sucks because, you know, he seems like a guy who has a lot of cool shit to say.
I think he'd be very entertaining.
I think he has a lot of funny stuff to say.
Yeah.
He told me he was too bored to plan for it, but maybe he'll be more bored and we'll do it. Maybe when you have a studio or something.
Hmm. Maybe when you have a studio, Jeff, apartment. Once you're forced to move out of your house.
Because you're divorced.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, after
your ex-wife finishes cleaning you out, and you have to sell the last of your Cabbage Patch dolls with a full diaper.
This is the thing that gets me with him, and I'm struggling to explain why listeners should give a shit about some random guy being mean to me. He just, out of nowhere, it just goes for the throat, but he completely misses.
He goes for what he thinks is the throat.
Exactly.
But then he goes for the throat and ends up, like, you know, just glancing your shoulder or something. He's like,
like, he asks me how Starbucks is.
Yeah. Wow.
Like, uh-oh.
Crazy.
Yeah. Are your travel brochures available there also? Are your fucking divorce papers available there?
Yeah, you looking for a new lawyer there, pal?
Yeah, that's weird. I don't think that's a good way to find a divorce lawyer is hanging out at Starbucks.
No, sir.
I just got to be honest with you, man.
No, sir.
Speaking as someone who's seen a lot of pathetic dudes online before, I would not do it that way.
Mm.
You will not. That will not work out.
Yeah, that won't work.
And it's just, oh, I'm fat. Oh, yeah, you know.
Wow.
Uh-oh.
Hmm. Yeah. Making fat jokes at a person in their mid-30s.
And so I didn't do anything
to
this guy.
A person in his approaching his 50s, making a fat joke.
You love to see it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we wouldn't be talking about it at all, except he just talks such a big fucking game all the time. And tonight we called him. We asked him to come on the podcast, Mike. And he talks such a big game about how we're such losers and we're such pussies and what happened.
We were rebuffed, Chris.
We were rebuffed. And, you know, it almost seems like it's because you're a piece of shit coward.
Almost.
It almost kind of comes off that way, Jeff. I'm sure it's not the reason why. What was he talking about? The thing he was fucking on the thread?
The napkin dispenser.
Right. Yeah. So
he got some napkin dispenser where he's like, nobody's going to know where this is from, but if you know, you can give me $60 for it.
He was being so mean, so Mike and I, you know, well, mostly me. I'm sorry, Mike. It was totally me. I was going through his shit, found out his personal life isn't going that great. And maybe that's why he's getting super drunk and saying I'm unemployed and stuff. And because I'm the bigger man, I was like, hey, man, how's your divorce going?
Because of the fat jokes.
Because of the fat jokes.
Yeah. Which, the bigger man. Yeah.
I'm the...
Get it?
No. Oh. So...
Well, what I'm suggesting is that you're larger than Jeff is.
In spirit.
Which is why he's making the fat jokes. You saying that you're the bigger man sort of confirms that.
Do you think that's what he means?
No, I'm sure it's in spirit.
Thanks, Mike. So anyway, the thing with Jeff is that he likes going on the Facebook page and will be like, you're gay.
Huh. Fuck.
And then everyone's like, Jeff, how's the divorce? And then they go through all his Facebook Marketplace posts and find that he's selling, like, literally napkin holders from an old Boston restaurant for, what, it was like $60?
Yes.
Cool, dude. I believe there's a Cabbage Patch Doll diaper on there. Or
the
whole doll, possibly.
Amazingly, it says sold. Posted an item for sale. Napkin holders from a place you never went. $100. I have several shitty napkin dispensers from the Other Side Cafe in Boston. They aren't worth crap unless you know the place. If you do, buy me a couple of beer. Sick. Buy me a couple of beer and throw me $59 and I'm cool. Otherwise, I'm keeping these fuckers and whatever. Ellipses. What a great way to market is they aren't worth crap. But then a sentence later being like, I'll charge you $59 for them.
And a couple beers?
I think you're going to need more than a couple, actually.
Dude, that's... That is some businessman pimp shit, dude.
Yeah. Wow.
No wonder he couldn't run a publication.
No wonder the dig flourished.
That's weird that Chris Verone had to take up the fucking helm on that shit. Save it from your dumbass.
Yeah, somebody who's an actual journalist.
Yeah, somebody who's not a fucking idiot. So that's how to step up.
Yeah. Wow. So, Jeff, fuck you.
Yeah, Jeff, it's funny to me that you get really drunk and post a lot of stuff online and can't even pick up a phone. To me, that doesn't... You know, no wonder your family doesn't respect you, Jeff. I mean, for the love of fuck.
It's really not part of any family now that he's divorced, right?
I guess you're kind of right, Mike, in a way. Yeah, it's almost like he has no has nothing and just has to...
I do think that this is a major slam that went unanswered. When Jeff said to you, Chris, you haven't fucked anything but your hand. Man up, sugar. He's got you there, pal.
Now, hold on a minute.
Yeah.
You want to hear all the things I fucked, Jeff? believe me, Jeff, I don't think you want to hear all of it.
I'm not ragging on divorced people, by the way. People get divorced for legitimate reasons all the time, but...
Jeff didn't.
Jeff is just such a fucking loser that nobody wants to be around him.
What did you say? Big divorce energy? Jeff has enormous big divorce energy.
He does. Yeah.
It is just dangling between his legs. Just
that's
enormous
divorce. That's what BDE really stands for.
Yeah.
Miles Klee is wrong.
Shut up, Miles. But Jeff...
fuck you, hipster.
Jeff, you understand, speaking of Miles, we've had, you know, serious people on this show. People who have written things, who have actually contributed to society.
Yeah, we've had Ken Klippenstein. We've had...
Valley.
Yeah.
We've had all kinds of people who are so much more famous than you, Jeff.
We've had...
all of whom could sit on your face and just fart.
Jared
you
Holt.
Wouldn't be able to do shit about it.
We've had Jared Holt.
Jared Holt. So anyway, Jeff, I guess what we're trying to say is that you're a huge pussy. Honestly, bro, if you don't come on the podcast, kind of putting me in a corner here, buddy.
And nobody puts baby in a corner.
Yeah, you really don't want to put me in a corner on this, so I'm going to go ahead and say you should just call into the pod, man up a little bit, talk in a big game online, come on the pod, hash it out. Before things have to get fucking weird, man. I don't want it to get... Do you want it to get weird, Mike?
No.
I don't want it to get weird.
I don't.
That'd be fucking so strange for things to get weird.
I've had about enough of weirdness.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So just Jeff, let's come on for a little conversation. I just would hate for it to have to get weird.
Have a conversation with two normal boys.
Just hash it out. Figure out what fucking malignant growth in your brain is causing all of this. And we'll figure it out.
I'm the bee.
Mike, how the fuck are you?
How the fuck am I?
Yeah, we already did the fever thing, didn't we?
The fuck did you just say to me, Chris?
Oh, I just asked how you were doing.
How am I, Chris? I am, I feel like dog shit.
You feel like dog shit.
Yeah, but I'm doing the pod for you.
And for our listeners.
You and the audience.
Don't forget the audience.
Yeah.
Because they love you, too.
Yeah. It's more about you. But how was your week? And it might actually be an actual week since we did the last pod.
It has. It has been an actual
week. We haven't released the pod yet, but, you know, it's...
We'll see what happens, you know.
As of this recording.
Yeah, it's been a wild ride.
I feel like I should have a sore throat all the time because my voice is very cool. I'm like very
very jazzy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Soulful.
Damn.
So my week, Mike.
Yeah, how was your week?
Well, I was in New York this weekend. And
The city that never sleeps. Well,
sort of.
Usually.
Right? Yeah, well, because I went down there to visit my girlfriend, and she got me tickets to see Dave Chappelle on Broadway for my birthday.
No way.
Surprised me with them.
That must have been a great show.
You would think. You would think it was a great show.
Oh, you didn't do a great show?
Well, as we're getting ready to Uber down there, she gets their little, like, 311 system, gets a little alert. Like, massive power outage in Midtown Manhattan.
Oh, boy. Just the worst place to have a power outage.
And she's freaking out a little bit, and I'm kind of, like, ignorant, and I'm like, whatever, who cares? Like, it's a power outage.
What's the BFD?
And I will go down there, who cares?
Yeah.
And so, she's like, I mean...
You guys can't deal with a little dark?
So I was a little stupid about what that might entail in Midtown Manhattan, have all the power out, and we get down there, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
And I think...
Everybody just going buck wild down there.
And I guess I just always assumed it would turn back on pretty quick, and that the show would be fine. And it wasn't until we got to the end of the line, which, like, stretched two city blocks, where I was like, maybe this is not gonna fucking happen, actually.
And these aren't, like, you know, I mean... The city blocks in New York are not just like regular city blocks. They're fucking actual city blocks.
Yeah, and it was on Broadway too, so there was like a line waiting for like Hamilton. That was huge. There were like lines, like it took up the whole sidewalk, and people were walking in the streets. It was getting crazy.
Damn.
Then we got word that it was canceled, and we were like, "All right, aww, cool. I'm going to go back there Sunday."
Did you get like makeup tickets?
Yeah. So it's not that bad, but. Then we're kind of in, like, Midtown, and it starts to get dark.
Oh, boy.
And it's surreal, because it's, like, we're a couple blocks from Times Square, which you can see all lit up. But then we're just, like, in complete darkness. But the funniest thing that I'll never forget is we were walking past this restaurant, and I cannot emphasize enough how goddamn pitch black everything was.
Yes.
The inside of businesses...
There's just no light except for like any light coming from Times Square.
Yeah, like right? No ambient light, yeah. Really. Any, like, you couldn't see shit into these storefronts.
God, that must have been scary as fuck.
It was oddly calm. Like, yeah, everyone was normal. Like, the cops were fucking everywhere, of course. So anyway, what I assume are these two employees are talking outside of this restaurant that is pitch black, and I see these two folks start to saunter up the stairs into the restaurant. And I'm kind of looking at them like, the fuck are you doing?
Are you open?
And they started to open the door, and this woman in the craziest Janine from Ghostbusters Long Island accent and so loud was like, we're closed? All the lights are off? And I fucking bellowed, like, all the lights are off? Like, do you not see this?
How could you not laugh?
I really did scream laughing. I just the audacity of it. Like, what did you think was going to happen?
Oh, my God.
It's literally a huge emergency, you fucking idiot. Oh, it's so good.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
You're listening to the Dystopian Power Hour.
With Jack and Mike.
Jack?
Yes?
So, Meghan McCain's at it again.
Oh, boy.
She's at it again. Care of the Raw story. Meghan McCain feels victimized by Trump's attack on Omar.
Quote.
How does she feel victimized?
You're taking away my agency to criticize her. Now, folks,
what the fuck does that mean?
You might think Meghan McCain is on a daytime talk show of some notoriety and viewership.
Mm-hmm. She's the daughter of John McCain, by the way.
Mm-hmm. And she's not been jailed or anything. But when we think about the real victims, it's not Ilhan Omar who is probably subjected to death threats. And
Definitely subjected to death threats. And, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
It's like lots. Lots of voicemails and letters and tweets and emails.
And Megan's really upset because if you guys don't cool it with the death threats and the racist crap, she can't go after her for the made-up anti-Semitism stuff. And that
she's
is
still on that.
Really,
huh?
Yeah, that's upsetting for her. Okay, so
okay,
we all just need to back up a little bit and think about how this affects Meghan McCain for once.
You know, if there's one thing, if there's one thing I never consider, it's how it affects Meghan McCain. We got a little clip of Rooney.
Ooh.
Should we play it?
Yeah, Meghan, that's a colorful blouse.
So, it is possible that we may have gotten a preview of you-know-who's 2020 presidential campaign.
What are you talking about?
During a rally in North Carolina last night, he continued his attack on freshman congresswoman that was condemned as racist, and it seemed to be a hit with the crowd.
Of course it
Take
was.
Take a look.
Is Whoopi drunk? What? Did she notice that?
She
really struggled through that.
She's really struggling. You know what? Like, I can't say I blame her.
Yeah, because you know she's getting up at like 3 a.m. I mean, I'd be on so much Xanax and cider at that point. Holy shit. Having to go on with McCain? Fuck.
This magnificent country. Omar has a history of launching vicious anti-Semitic screeds.
Send her back. Wow.
So
cool.
Does that chant
remind you of anything?
Well, it it takes this to a different level.
Yeah, it does.
This is a whole different thing that's happening here.
Well, it's a continuation of lock her up and
no, this
is
actually
no, it's not. It's actually
this
not
is dumb idiot. Back. She's an American citizen.
Yeah. She also escaped violence in Somalia.
Yeah,
she is a self-made woman. What the hell did he do except get money from his father?
Yeah. Well, but
his father.
You know, there's a lot of. I mean,
the lights are
should
off.
Should we be worried about this? I mean, there were children in that.
Yes.
In
there, Joey, are you a waitress?
Yelling, send her back. What is the message? Who will we send her back?
Well, Whoopi, it seems it seems clear what they're saying.
Isn't it amazing that this, we're 2 minutes in and this is like listening to a couple of fifth graders talk about the news. Like, what did they say, dude?
A couple of fifth graders who heard a fraction of the news.
Yeah, who barely understand it. What is he? Yeah, that's a great point. It's almost like the president is an asshole. Have you guys noticed that?
Oh, weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is the message here is the question,
it's
really.
Pretty clear.
And I pose that to our table, but also to us as Americans. What is this message? What are we saying?
Well, it terrified me. I never thought that
Sonny
I would hear
Hostin?
Those words from the president of the United States of America.
You never thought you'd hear those words from him, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All the other stuff he said is actually pretty reasonable and normal, right?
You should check out the Nixon tapes.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Yeah.
America, the same words that I heard my grandmother subjected to, the same words that I heard that I've been subjected to. And, you know, federal law says go back to where you came from. The use of those words is discriminatory when used by a supervisor or by a coworker. And you can sue that person. You can get fired for that. What does it say that the executive in chief of the United States of America is saying it about a congresswoman?
Well, it says that he believes he's above the law.
And I just, when I think about that, I think he's supposed to be the moral leader of this country.
Well, come on.
Yeah.
He's supposed to be. He's supposed to be someone that you look up to.
Children.
And you have a child in that crowd being egged on to say, send her back.
You know, we have to be careful.
They're all children, actually.
Holding up our leaders to these standards which we ourselves cannot fit. You know, they're real people. This one is, I don't know what to say about this one. I've never.
It was really dystopian.
Crazy. Yeah,
it's not.
It's crazy.
I was trying to go out to dinner and ignore politics. My family's in town, and came home and saw it on.
Oh, you were trying to go out and ignore politics.
Oh my God, Meghan, please keep trying as hard as you can, please.
Oh, God.
I mean, could you have opened that up in any more of an annoying fucking way? Goddamn imaginable.
I was trying to enjoy my dinner.
Mean, I'm out, you know, with my family in freaking Farragut North or whatever. We're having a blast. You know, my mom's getting wasted. She's telling stories about how dad always used to call her a cunt or whatever. And I get a text on my phone all of a sudden. Jeez Louise, the president, what did he do this time? Some of us would like to go out to brunch for once.
Oh, wait, this text is actually a picture text. It's a corpse on fire. Oh, it's actually my dad calling in.
You made a face of my joke.
it's my dad texting me from hell, actually.
Which is where he is.
Saw it on TV, and look, everyone at this table, and I think people that watch the show or have ever seen the dumpster fire that was my interview on Seth Meyers, knows that I've been one of Ilhan Omar's most vocal critics on her policy regarding Israel, regarding some of her comments that I and many others interpreted as anti-Semitic. But the problem right now is you're taking away my agency to criticize her policy because you're making this so much about race, xenophobia, racism. I think anytime you're hitting in a territory where you're telling any American citizen who is of a different color than you are to send them back, I too didn't think this was something that I would see in my country, especially when we're going into 2020. And let me tell you, Republicans
remember,
right now,
when your dad, like, I'm sorry, but your dad was literally famous for refusing to never stop calling them gooks.
Yes.
And he was like adamantly psycho about it.
Maybe in power and have popularity and Trump's numbers may be real high, but let me tell you, it's my generation that's going to answer for this.
Oh,
try
God.
Selling conservatism to a younger generation when all they see is this kind of crap on TV.
Okay, try selling conservative to a younger generation that is inundated with student loans, has rising costs but stagnant wages, crushing medical bills.
Got her.
But I guess that's not a problem for you. Right?
Yeah, how are you
gonna... Oh, God.
But I mean, like, how are you gonna do it? I don't know, maybe with some racist memes? It doesn't seem to have been a big problem.
Yeah.
Than my experience.
But. I love how she's saying, I hate Ilhan Omar, but if people are racist to her, then I can't criticize her.
That's what she's saying.
That's the gist of what she's saying.
It's very principled.
Like she... yes. I mean, she really qualified with it with, I'm her biggest critic, and you remember when I was on Seth Meyers, you made an ass of yourself.
Yeah, I forgot about it, but now I remember it, and it was really funny.
Yes.
And Seth Meyers.
Seth Meyers.
The SNL comedian made you look like a fucking idiot.
He made you look like a donkey.
That was pretty funny.
And the Trump administration, all of you, Ivanka, Jared, because you're around my age range, where are you in this? Because if my parents were doing this...
Why clap for that?
And I don't understand where his safeguards, which is apparently his family...
It is required by Republicans to speak now. It's almost like...
It is.
I don't know what else to say.
They're allegedly Republicans.
For 2 years, we've been railing against this guy. And, you know, and the Republican Party just falls in line behind him. They don't say anything. Lindsey Graham apologizes for him. McConnell, who has a wife who is an immigrant, was an immigrant, apologizes.
But past that, we should
pathetic.
Be worried about violence
but
being
it's
directed.
Pathetic.
Well, let's get to that point, because that's
all right. I mean, why shouldn't have we been worried about violence directed at her when you were calling her, like, an anti-Semite terrorist?
Yes.
I know your best friend, Barry Weiss, probably told that to you in a little DM when you guys were out. She was probably going out to dinner with Barry Weiss and, like, Brett Stevens, and they were going to get some Thai food together. And they were like, oh, my goodness, this Never Trumper meetup. Can we ever just get 10 minutes peace?
They're going out for some Vietnamese, and she's like, hey, isn't this ironic? They never fed this to my dad when he was, when he was shitting himself in a cell.
Oh, Jesus Christ, Mike.
Come on. Come on.
Yeah, my dad can never enjoy this ramen because his shoulders were always... You know, maybe my cousin is right, man.
You are, we are despicable.
I think deranged was the
deranged,
word.
Deranged,
yeah, she might have been
Maybe she has some of that acute psychological profiling skills you need at the Navy recruitment office.
Oh, God.
Oh, Megan, why are you so just awful? It's great.
And that, because right. that really does involve people, women in particular, who critique this, which is our right. This is one of the great rights of the United States. You can say what you want to say, okay? He can say what he wants to say. But see, if we say something like that, and it sounds like we're talking about violence, we can get in deep doo-doo.
Yeah, you can't.
He doesn't care or doesn't acknowledge the fact that what he's doing is possibly inviting violence towards these women.
Possibly.
And women who are saying,
possibly.
This is wrong, I don't like this.
You think
so? This involves every female in this country.
Well, why can't, can we show the TV he be brought up on charges
we have
of hate speech?
Sorry.
Why can't he be sued by the...
How are these fucking idiots on TV?
Oh, my God.
How... On charges of hate speech?
How fucking embarrassing.
On charges of hate speech, Joy.
How fucking embarrassing.
I just, where, oh my God.
How fucking, Whoopi just got done, I mean, in a roundabout way, she just got done saying, in America we could say whatever we want to.
Yeah, you're right.
And then this fucking brain genius next to her is like, why is she brought up on, why isn't he brought up on charges of hate speech?
Why can't we charge him for a crime that doesn't exist?
It's like Kyle's mother.
You boys.
What? Oh, God.
Seriously, though, this analysis is terrible. Like, you're seriously still... We're in 2019 now, Mike. And I under... Like, we're still on, like, the president should be the moral leader of the nation. Yeah. How has that not been completely wiped from your brain as a fucking possibility ever again?
When has the president ever been moral leader for the... Or George Washington or Abraham Lincoln. No, they were probably kind of shitty, too,
you
actually.
You live in fucking fantasy world, dude.
JFK was a great moral leader, yeah, for sure.
They're all pieces of shit.
Yes.
I mean, it's just so wild. No one's ever been like, oh, remember the good old days when the president was good?
I want to go back to the days of Chester A. Arthur.
Yeah, dude.
Really brought some dignity to the office.
I just...
Ugh,
You know, he knows what he's doing.
Yes.
And they're acting like, oh, you know, does he even realize he's going to lead? Of course he fucking realizes it. It was on the teleprompter. It was part of their campaign strategy. Mm-hmm. He absolutely, like, what the fuck do you think he's doing? These people have to fucking get their heads out of their ass.
I remember the first ad that I saw for Donald Trump in, like, 2015. And it was, like, pretty much like, we're going to stop the flow of Muslims into the country. I'm like, holy shit. Mm-hmm. He just came out and said it. Well, they're not even hiding it anymore. And, you know, now, and 4 years later, it's like, how could they be saying this? Like, did you not pay attention for, like, fucking 2 years before he actually got elected somehow?
Yeah, I just don't know how you're not past the point now of, like, yeah, he's not going to be the moral exemplar of the country.
No.
So what's now? You're just going to cry about it on the fucking View. I mean, I guess we're just crying about it on the pod, but are we saying
we're crying about the View crying about it?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not just like, well, we need someone like Joe Biden in there to bring some honor back, like, to the Oval Office.
Millions of, like, suburban moms are watching this and they're like, you know what? She's right.
That's what I find amazing. Yeah. I mean, these people to me are terrible.
They're the worst.
I just can't believe that these people have so much influence.
And, you know, not for nothing, but you know that one of those, like, suburban, like, Midwestern moms are, like, when Sunny Hostin, who's, you know, a woman of color, she's light-skinned, right?
You sure?
But you just know that there's some suburban mom who's like, oh, she's not really black.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely, right?
I can't imagine watching this and taking it seriously, man.
it's like a more mainstream Daily Blast.
It is.
Just with worse people.
Honestly, at least I gotta say, on the Daily Blast, they had, like, more coherent arguments.
Yes.
I think Sunny is the only one who came off even remotely coherent here.
Yeah, Whoopi, I don't even know where she was going with that.
I swear to God, she was zanned out.
Can we just say that the president is a white nationalist?
Yeah.
And stop being like, oh, you should be a moralist.
Yeah.
Seriously, just call him a fucking white nationalist. Just say it like it is. If you're going to, like,
it's just so much. Yeah, I guess that's what it is. It's just so much fucking just dancing around it.
Well,
like, there are little kids watching, and why is that bad? Because he's saying white nationalist stuff. That's why it's bad. But it's just always like,
yes, because he's a white nationalist.
They can't just come out and say that that's what's going on. And, like, what lessons do you think the Republicans are going to walk away with from this era?
They're walking away with be more extreme.
Yeah.
You know, there is a such thing as lawlessness.
I think they're probably going to take away the lessons I wish the Democrats would take away from it.
What seems to be the Democrats' MO is that instead of playing the Republicans' game, the Democrats are going to be like, nope, we have to be above that.
Absolutely. They will 100% do that.
Fucking pieces of shit.
Absolutely cool.
Fucking pieces of shit. It makes me so fucking mad.
It like, does.
You know what I mean? It's like, no, we're above that. No, don't be above that. Do what they did.
I really don't
do
get
it.
Do it. Do you know they had like, they held up so many Obama judges. It was something like 100 federal like the Republicans, because of all their stonewalling and because of all their Federalist Society psycho bullshit, have like just taken over the federal courts for like 30 years by completely stonewalling. And the Democrats are just completely fucking shoving their own dicks in their ass, just letting it happen.
Seriously.
Not, you know, and it's not aggressive at all. Just taking them at the best possible interpretation all the time. Just don't see how you don't see that they're fucking playing you at this point. This isn't like they don't care about the discourse.
It's people who like just they think that they know the game. You know, they think
exactly.
That they know this is politics. Like,
they think they're the smartest people in the room. Like,
yeah, it's politics, but it's a different politics than you think it is. It's like it's a dirty game, and people like fucking Schumer and Pelosi are going to be the ones taking us through. Fuck that! Jesus Christ. I'm getting so fucking mad, dude. My fever's going back up.
I'm getting fucking so done with Pelosi, man. I'm fucking fed up. The other day, someone was just like, you have anything to say about, like, you know, the send her back chant? And
oh, yeah.
All Nancy was like, we released a statement. And it's just like
how much
you're
take
the
a
leader
fucking stand,
of the fucking
dummy.
Party. You fucking socialite monster. I'm so, like, and then the way she admonished folks in her party for saying that we shouldn't vote for the ICE camps is just...
We have to present a united front. You know, these are the kind of things that Trump is going to seize on. And then, you know, and then when Trump does stuff like this, and then the Democrats, you know, sort of circle their wagons, all the fucking dipshit pundits are always like, oh, well, you know, Pelosi was right. The freshman would be wise to listen to her. Look at, she was proven right. Like, fuck.
Oh, I saw a couple other takes that were even better.
Oh,
I'll one-up you.
Oh, no.
Was that Trump, famous brain genius that he is, it was actually a well-calculated move to make Nancy Pelosi actually have to defend the squad.
Oh, God.
Force her to defend the squad.
Oh, God.
The extremely popular squad.
So this was this quote from Pelosi. Pelosi on AOC, Omar, others. Quote, these people have their public whatever and their Twitter world.
Damn.
Talking about AOC, Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, and Ayanna Pressley. She followed her comments by saying, but they didn't have any following. They're four people and that's how many votes they got. Come on. What a piece of shit. Fucking Pelosi.
Yeah, dude, I really don't think that's going to work for them, man. The people that are excited about the Democrats are not excited about Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi.
What's to be excited about? Oh, what? They stood up to Trump in a meeting, in a televised meeting? Oh, they didn't really. They just said, all they did was like, remember that meeting where they were talking about the budget and the wall? And Schumer was like, nope. Nope, we're not gonna fund that, and with his freaking glasses on the end of his nose, and Pelosi was like, let's talk about this in private. Nope, talk about it here. Argue with him here. This is what people want to see.
I just don't get it, man. It's remember when people were like, oh, she wore a red a red coat to the meeting, epically serving Trump, and you're just like, what the fuck brain disease do you have? What are you talking about? Do you think Trump even fucking sees color at this point? He's just absolutely taken over his brain stem, whatever parasite is in there. I mean, he's the red coat. You think he understands symbolism, like, as a concept?
This is a guy who has fast food in the White House.
The man has a button on his Oval Office desk that he pushes to get a Diet Coke.
Now, look, I can't...
that's pretty cool.
I can't knock that.
I think
that I wish rules. I had a button that a Coke Zero would appear when I press it.
Well, maybe you could be president. Maybe you work for it.
Great.
The ACLU for hate speech. I don't get it. How does he get away with this?
What?
Can we just show this clip really quick?
Yeah.
The what?
Hate speech is true.
The fact of the knowledge is, and I've done racial justice work in our country for a long time. Acknowledge the fact that we are women of color. So when you do single us out, be aware of that and what you're doing, especially because some of us are getting death threats, because some of us are being singled out in many ways because of our backgrounds, because of our experiences and so forth.
And she's putting blame with Nancy Pelosi as well, which is why this clip, I thought, when Gayle King was interviewing them, was also interesting, because clearly they're feeling threats from all the way around, but they're blaming Nancy Pelosi for sort of opening the channels for Trump. And I just wish we could all take a collective breath, roll all of this back, and then we can fight about policy on The View, which all day.
Oh, yeah. Hey, let's take a breath when death threats are just fucking pouring in from all sides. Oh my god,
I cannot believe
what a privilege. See,
imagine having to talk to her for more than like a minute.
Oh my god,
I am fucking exhausted watching this.
How does her stupid husband do it?
You know, I wasn't gonna go there, but
I want to blow my brains out.
I don't know which one of them how they haven't just killed each other yet.
Oh god.
In my opinion,
she needed to give that rap directly to Nancy Pelosi.
Wait a minute.
We don't need to hear that on TV.
Here's what should have happened.
Why not?
Shut up, Joy.
None of this should have happened because everybody should have kept it amongst themselves
and
argue this personally.
Right.
But once you put it out there, because you know when the youngsters, I said this the other day, when the youngsters come in and say, you know, your generation didn't do anything, get out of the way, old person. It's like,
youngsters.
What?
Yeah,
and then you keep it going, and then it escalates.
Yeah.
Everybody,
as if that's not true,
has blame in this.
Mm.
The problem we are facing right now is what to do about it. It's not that it's. We know it's happened. We get to, things happen all the time. Go ahead.
I wish that Nancy Pelosi, as the Speaker of the House, as the leader of the Democrats in the House, and these four freshman Congresswomen would have sort of aired this out internally.
Uh-huh.
But I think. And I said this on the show when we discussed Nancy Pelosi sort of singling them out, that you do have to take note that they are women of color. And the
but
door
they
was
have to
opened
take
up
note that
a
she's
little
a
bit
woman
there.
Also.
No question.
You know,
and
you
that
can't
she's in leadership. But you know, I said that. I thought that was going to happen.
What if she's colorblind and doesn't really know?
What if she's colorblind?
I just find that you are colorblind, but if you are driving down the street, Joy, you've got to be able to see that there's a red light, a yellow light, and a green light. And so the notion that somehow I'm colorblind doesn't really cut it.
Well,
you have to understand that women of color experience things a little bit differently than other people in the United States.
Tell me about the red lights.
It's all kinds of crazy stuff.
Yeah, a little.
And
it's just
the problem for me is I need them to acknowledge that they have a hand in this. They have a hand in this.
The
squad or quad or whatever they're called.
I
think part of my perspective on this is
shut up.
It's okay to criticize their policy.
Yes.
There's huge ideological differences happening in this country that are savaging both sides.
Yes.
I could not be more politically divergent than the squad in every
Who
way.
Who fucking
and I
cares?
Think the problem is, even if it's just a criticism of their policy, sometimes it's perceived as racism. I don't believe that's what Nancy Pelosi would
do. I don't think that's what
Anyway, and I think the
I'm
problem is, look what
all.
Trump just
no
did.
One said
there
that.
Is a huge difference, and there needs to be more nuance in this kind of conversation.
Yeah. That's not
what
I'm saying.
They have a hand in it.
Nuance.
When we come back, I will
literally
explain.
How
we'll be right back.
Does anyone watch this?
This is fucking garbage.
That was almost 9 minutes.
It's garbage.
That made me want to crawl out of my skin.
And some fucking suburban mom driving her Ford Taurus is like, you know what? Megan made a really good point there.
Maybe the squad is to blame for the racism, you know, against them.
She mentioned both sides. You know, I can agree with that.
Yeah, this is a horrible, horrible, horrible show.
Megan, suck both sides of my ass.
Yeah, suck all eight sides of my ass, Megan. And the secret ninth side, if you can find it. Oh, it's there.
God damn it.
Yeah.
Oh, this is so aggravating. We are so going to get our asses kicked in 2020.
I don't know what to do. Like, how is that just... I don't know, man. That really bothers me, how dumb that was.
She's talking about, first off, well, we've got to, what did she say about young conservatives? We have to attract young conservatives? Yeah. Okay. The only people that will be attracted to conservatism who are young are people like her. Privileged people who are heirs, whatever. People who are extremely privileged and falling ass backwards into money and opportunity.
Or insanely racist.
Oh,
and
well,
online,
I think it sort of goes hand in hand, right? But
not always, but I think that is the crossover, the classic conservative crossover.
That's the intersectionality on that side.
Hello. Yeah, you gotta have your class and racism.
I understand intersectionality. I'm privileged and racist.
Well, and then what was Whoopi going off of? The shit she was saying was almost crazier than what Megan was saying.
She is out of her mind.
Bad shit idiot.
She is out of her fucking
just
mind.
A fucking
I think
psycho.
You're right with the Zannies. She's totally on those.
Dude, she's whacked out, man.
Like,
honestly, we could have done a better segment than that in like 3 seconds, dude. And think about how many people they have working for them. That was the most like mundane, elementary analysis.
And my father...
Yeah, she brought up her dad again, didn't she? I forgot. She brought up her fucking goddamn dad again.
We're going to have the Meghan McCain...
If my dad was bombing Iran, it would have been really cool.
Yeah.
I'm sure your dad... Oh, man, dude. This is what a horrible time to be alive.
I'm serious.
Every fucking second.
I'm saying,
is just
dude.
Hell.
It's fucking just hellscape everywhere. Oh, boy, Chris. Well, you know what? We're all fucked.
Yeah.
We're all fucked. The planet's on fire. Planet is on fire.
Planet's on fire. My ass is on fire. My ass
it's
is freaking
not funny.
On.
My ass is on fire.
Because his ass is on fire.
Mr. Bungle? No? Not a fan of Mr. Bungle?
One of his albums I really liked.
Like a lot of their stuff was, let's get really high and go into the studio.
Yeah.
And make an album. Oh, your microphone came off again.
No, it didn't.
It kind of did, though.
Nah.
A little bit.
So, how do you feel? Step is on my...
I like it.
You like it?
I like it. I'm not cutting out any of that shit. I know. You'll cut out all the funny parts. I know.
Yeah, I'm going to cut out all the funny parts and all the racist parts.
Whoa. We did not have any racist parts, people.
And all the ankle-calling parts.
The words you're hearing on your radio right now are not true.
They are true. Well,
someone stop the farting.
We didn't start the farting. It was always tooting since the world was hooting.
That's brilliant ad lib.
Thanks.
I know. So you can reach me at This Is Not Mike G on Twitter. Chris, you can reach at
Billy Joel.
Nope. At
Billy Joel.
At no, you don't want
to. Billy Joel.
Can you imagine Billy Joel just getting all the shitty tweets? People just tweet at you.
It's
now.
Like, why isn't Colleen tweeting me?
Oh, God. Well, she blocked you.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes, and she's crying to your mom about you, so.
Probably.
Yes. Oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah. What are you going to do?
At least it wasn't Antonice.
She's not an aunt, but.
Oh, I thought it was. Oh, that's right. She's a friend. Sorry.
It's okay.
She's like an aunt.
We're just lighting up my...
Just lighting it.
Any boomers in my life are going to get it
fucking up
at
the
one
fan.
Point.
All right, folks. We'll see you next time.
Yeah.